Hebron. As Joel said, we're continuing our series through John's Gospel, looking particularly at the seven signs that he records, the seven miraculous signs. And if you remember, John says at the end of the Gospel, he's recorded these seven signs so that we, the reader, might believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing have life in his name. So we come to this fourth sign, this feeding miracle, the feeding of the 5,000. And of course, more than 5,000. John tells us there were 5,000 men, but there would have been women and children. So we're looking at probably 10, 15, possibly even more. This is a huge crowd of people fed from five small loaves and two fish. An amazing miracle. And this is the only miracle recorded in all four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But John is the only one of the four who also records the dialogue that follows, the conversation that Jesus has with the people. And if you remember, John says these miracles are signs. In other words, they're not just raw displays of power. They are pointing to something. They have a symbolic meaning. They're telling us something about Jesus. And so we want to think about what that meaning is and particularly consider these words from Jesus. Verse 35, Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the point that Jesus wants us to grasp. And so we're going to spend our time thinking particularly about that incredible phrase, that incredible claim, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." Let me pray, and then we'll get into it. Lord Jesus, we hear those words, and maybe they're familiar to us, but we pray this morning we'd hear them in our hearts afresh, and your Spirit would impress them upon our hearts, that we would not only understand with our heads, but receive the truth of these words in our hearts, in our souls, that we would know and experience you as you say you are, the bread of life. Help us to know that, to believe it, and to live it for your glory. Amen. We're going to look at that phrase under three headings. I am the bread of life, I am the bread of life, and I am the bread of life. Okay, so we're going to think about bread, we're going to think about life, we're going to think about Jesus. Firstly, bread. For ancient people, bread meant far more than it does for us. You know, meat, fish were luxuries, really. Bread was the staple diet. It was the heart of most meals. And there's a sense in which bread symbolized life itself. So Jesus can tell his disciples to pray, "Give us today our daily bread." And of course, he doesn't just mean, you know, physical stuff made out of wheat. He's talking about what we need for life. Bread has that kind of bigger meaning. For the Israelites, there were two particular kind of historic occasions that would have been brought to mind when they thought about bread. One was what comes up here, where the Jews asked Jesus about God providing manna for the Israelites in the wilderness. And that would have been an occasion, an event, a time in Israel's history that was impressed upon the first century Jews, when God provided food every day, manna, bread from heaven, as it's described, to sustain his people for 40 years as they journeyed through the wilderness to the promised land. An incredible, miraculous provision from God. And I'm betting after 40 years they were sick and tired of the stuff. But manna, sustaining them on their journey to the promised land. The second, I think, would have been within the tabernacle and the temple. There was a table that contained bread. There would have been freshly baked loaves of bread on this table all the time in the temple. And that bread was called the bread of the presence. And it symbolized the presence of God. It symbolized the fact that through God's saving work, we can enjoy relationship with Him. We've talked before, haven't we, about the importance of eating, that kind of inviting someone into your home, to your table, to enjoy a meal is an invitation to friendship. In eating together is an intimate act. And having the bread of the presence within the tabernacle was symbolizing the fact that we can enjoy, God's people can enjoy fellowship with Him, friendship with Him. That's bread. Secondly, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, verse 27, "Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life." When Jesus talks here about the bread of life, he's really talking about eternal life. And that's the big theme through John's gospel. Believe in Jesus that you may have life in his name, eternal life. Now, what does that mean? What is eternal life? It is more than just life that goes on forever. It's talking about a quality of life, isn't it? Eternal life isn't just about duration, it's about the quality of life. In Greek, there are two words for life. One is bios, where we get our word biology, and that's talking about physical life, existence. But there's another word, zoe, which is talking about this life that is really life, a quality of life. And when Jesus talks about eternal life, he's talking about eternal zoe. To illustrate this, let me tell you a story from what happened in our home last night. Moya made dessert for everyone in our family, and it was Belgian waffles with cookies and cream ice cream, freshly cut strawberries, and milk chocolate drizzled on top. And it was pretty good. And Moya herself, as she sat down and ate this dessert, she said, "This is life." It was great. And I said, I couldn't have asked her to kind of give a better quote. But what's she talking about? She's not saying this is existence, is she? She's saying, this is really living. This is life with flavor, life that satisfies. This is enjoyable. That's zoe, that kind of quality of life. Life with meaning and energy and fulfillment and joy. And this eternal life that Jesus talks about, it starts now. It's not just reserved for when we die. That's not when eternal life begins. We can enjoy eternal life now. Jesus says, verse 35, "I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." We can have our hunger satisfied as we come to Jesus and believe in him now. Not fully, the fullness of that life will only be ours in eternity. But we can begin to enjoy that quality of life now. Jesus says later in John's gospel, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the one true God, and Jesus Christ whom you have sent." So eternal life, Jesus says, is about knowing God, being in relationship with him. It's that bread of the presence. And that's something we can enjoy and experience now. Everyone in the world has that hunger, don't they? Everyone wants life. Everyone's looking for life, and not just existence. We have a inbuilt desire to survive, but more than that, we don't just want to survive, do we? We want to find meaning and purpose and fulfillment and enjoyment and satisfaction. We all want zoe. And there are lots of things in life that provide some level of zoe, some quality of life, food or friendship. Many of the good pursuits, sports, art, good satisfying work. These are all good things and they provide something of satisfaction. But none of them can fully satisfy the deep hunger that we have. Jesus says he and he alone is the bread of life. You know, if we look to anything else as our main source of Zoe, it will let us down. It will be like that, what Jesus says. Don't work for food that spoils. Anything else, if we look to it for ultimate satisfaction, it's going to spoil. It's going to let us down. It won't meet our deep need. And that's true, isn't it? We probably know it in part from our own experience. And you know, think about even the most successful people in the world, people who've got it all, and you hear so often of how deeply unsatisfied they are. I love the quote from Jim Carrey, which I've mentioned before. Famous actor, you know, famous, successful, rich, and yet he says he wishes everyone could get rich and famous and have everything they ever wished for so that they would realize it's not the answer. And St. Augustine, who again I've quoted a number of times, so you probably know it, but St. Augustine, whatever, 4th, 5th century, famously prayed, "Lord, you have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless till they find their rest in you." You know, anything else that we look to for ultimate satisfaction will leave us dissatisfied, will leave us restless, only when we come to the God who made us. The Lord Jesus, where we find true rest. He is the one thing that brings true satisfaction to our souls. And I think, you know, that is a big application through the book of John. You know, Joel mentioned last week, thinking about the pool and how, in a sense, we all have pools, like that man that we look to for healing and blessing. Or the Jesus turning water into wine. We all have kind of things that we look to for satisfaction, but Jesus is the wine, and Jesus is the fountain of living water, and Jesus is the bread of life. And we need to come to him and believe in him, and if we look to anything else, we'll be let down. Okay, finally, Jesus says, "I am the bread of life." He doesn't say he has the bread of life. He says, "I am the bread of life." He is the bread that sustains and satisfies us on our journey to the promised land of heaven. And this claim makes Christianity unique. You know, every other religious founder effectively says, "I can show you the way to the bread. You know, do this, do that, follow these rules, and you'll find life. You'll make it and experience the bread of life," whether it's the five pillars of Islam or Buddhism's eightfold path. They say, I can tell you where the bread is, show you how to get there. And in a sense, that seems to be what the people who talk to Jesus are saying. They say, "What must we do to do the work that God requires?" Jesus talks about eternal life, and they're saying, "Okay, what must we do to do the work God requires so we can have that eternal life?" And what does Jesus say? Verse 29, "The work of God is this, to believe in the one that he sent." In other words, in a sense, you don't need to do anything. You just need to believe because Jesus has done it all for you. When you receive him, you get it all. So Jesus doesn't say, "I can show you the way to life," but "I am the life." But not just "I am the life," but "I am the bread of life." And this was a kind of new idea for me this week. You know, I've read, I've preached on this before, but, you know, he's not just the life. He is the bread of life. You know, what difference does it make that he describes himself in that way? What does that mean for how we are to relate to him? He says we need to come to him, to believe in him. But what does that mean? I think it suggests that we need to feed on him. You know, there's a sense in which as we come to him and believe in him, we need to do that. We need to believe in him in a way that we draw strength from him. He sustains us, nourishes us. We gain the sustenance that we need and the satisfaction that we need as we journey through life. And the link to the story of manna in the wilderness, I think, suggests that this needs to be a daily feeding. Just as the Israelites had to go out every day to gather manna. And if they kept it till the next day, it was full of maggots and had gone bad. There's a sense in which we need to make sure we're feeding on Christ daily and probably even more frequently. We can't just look back and say, well, I prayed a prayer 10 years ago, so I'm all right. I came to him, I believed in him back then. Or we can't say, you know, I studied at Bible college in the past. No, it needs to be a daily reality for us, a daily coming, believing, feeding on him, drawing our life from him. Later in this chapter, Jesus goes on in his teaching to talk about how we need to eat his flesh and drink his blood. And it sounds pretty gruesome, and people who heard it thought he's talking about cannibalism, and people find it really offensive and start walking away. But he's clearly talking about the fact that we need to be feeding on his death in particular. As we come to him and draw strength from him, it's from the reality of his death, his body broken, just as bread is broken in order to feed and nourish us. So Jesus has come and his body has been broken in order to give life. He's the bread of life, and we receive that life through his death. So we need to feed on him, and particularly on his death. How can we do that? What does it look like in practice? Let me suggest a few things, but it'd be great to chat together more. What does it mean to feed on Christ? How can we do that in our daily life? You know, I think practically we do it as we come together for corporate worship, as we sing songs of praise that declare the glory of Christ, as we hear from his word, as we pray to him, as we share communion, we are feeding on Christ. You know, words from the prayer book say, as you receive the bread, feed on Christ in your hearts with thanksgiving. You know, that as we take bread, we're not just eating a piece of bread, but that is symbolizing that the feeding on Christ in our hearts that we're called to do. You know, the word of God, the scriptures are often likened to food, to stuff that nourishes. And so as we think about daily engagement with the Bible, we need to be feeding on Christ as we do that, which I think means more than just skimming through a passage and then forgetting it, but meditating. You know, that idea of meditating on God's word, I think, has the idea of kind of chewing over the words of Scripture, pondering them, chewing them over in our minds so that we're drawing out the sustenance from them, and responding in prayer, praying those things in so that we don't just give kind of intellectual assent to truths about Jesus, but we're drawing life from those truths, from him. And particularly from our relationship with him. You know, we can think about a relationship with someone and how that is life-giving. Well, Jesus is the ultimate life-giving relationship. And so we need to invest in our relationship with him, feeding on him. You know, it's a strange idea, isn't it? But a good one, I think. And not only in those general ways, kind of building those into our daily routines, but in the moment, you know, when we find ourselves maybe tempted to anxiety or to anger, what does it mean to feed on Christ? Well, maybe we need to ask, why am I feeling anxious? Why am I, tempted to an angry response? Is it something that I've lost, or something that I feel needs to happen in order to be content? But if I've come to Jesus and have eternal life in him, then you know, whatever that thing is that I fear losing or that's been taken away from me or threatened, well, it may be a good thing, it may be an important thing, but it's not my life because Jesus is my life. And so I don't have to be derailed. So we need to make Jesus our life in the moment as we go through life and face those threats. I think it applies to, you know, as we think about things like our use of money. How can we use our money in a way that shows money is not our life? Money is not the bread of life. It's not the stuff of life. Jesus is. How can we use our talents or our possessions or our time? How can we use all the things in our life to show that they're not our life, but Jesus is? And if we find ourselves currently in a bit of a wilderness experience, you know, maybe feeling dry spiritually, maybe going through a tough time, I think this passage encourages us to come to Jesus and know that he can give us the bread of life that we need. He can satisfy our hunger with someone, with something deeper than anything else. You know, often it is through those wilderness periods in our lives that we come to know God and experience him in a way that we don't at other times. You know, often it's when Jesus is all that we've got that we find he's all we need. I mean, I wonder if, particularly at this time, you know, with everyone potentially anxious about this pandemic, to be people who are rooted in Christ, you know, consistent in our relationship with him, drawing our life from him, showing that he's the one that we're looking to. He's the one that we are hoping in and drawing our satisfaction from. Shall I pray? I think we're going to share communion, and during communion we'll have time to reflect more. Joel's going to tell us what to do. Yeah, let me pray. Lord Jesus, you're the bread of life. And you say, whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. We pray, renew our sense of hunger, our soul hunger, and help us to come to you and find our hunger satisfied. Show us what that means in our daily life, in our daily rhythms, and show us how to feed on you, to come to you and believe in you at those moments of struggle and threat and temptation. We do pray as a church here and for your church around the world at this time of anxiety and threat, that we would show through our actions and our words, our attitudes, show that you are our life, you are our joy. You're the one who provides hope and meaning and fulfillment. We pray for your glory's sake. Amen.